really so nice to chant with you. Thank you very much. It's so orchestral or choral or so nice when devotees come together and chant with feelings for Krishna. Then it's a very, very strong spiritual energy. Yes, I want to just briefly now talk to you about some news, and then I want to see if you have any questions. Let me see, is this something else which we do today? Good. Was it a movie?
That was from
before. Oh, yeah. Well, I will start with some small points. I was very happy last year to see some of my disciples attending the japa retreats which we have developed over the last years together with Bhagavad Life and in different places of the world, and I thought to give two japa retreats this year. To give a japa retreat is a lot of, it's very intense for those who give the japa retreat or the facilitator. And so I think two for this year is sufficient. We will do one in Croatia, and since it is Croatia, it means everything goes a little bit in a Croatian style way. We don't yet know where we will do it, but we know the times. It will be for sure on an island, but the place is still not. We have not yet focused on the place. It will be at the end of May and June, up to the 7th of June. And then the second japa retreat is following right after that in Radhadesh from the 8th of June to the 13th or so. 13th, Dinadaya? 13th. So I really would like to invite you to take this. I'm hoping to give this japa retreat in the hands of others. I want to develop some other deep spiritual courses for devotees. And now japa retreats are done all over the world, and I want to write a little manual so that those who want to give it can give it based on the manual and their own inspirations. They can definitely change it the way they wish to do it. Yeah. Each teacher has a certain style and certain emphasis. Yeah. So please stay in contact. If you ask me which one of the two retreats I would recommend more, I just like the island. The island is called Braj, and there is an octopus who waits for us every year, and dolphins and so on. And if you can make time, I think it's an investment in your spiritual life which you will not forget. It will stay with you. But also I want to say it's not enough to have just one japa retreat. I feel we need to do this more. I do it every year for myself, for Krishna and to go deeper into japa. But yes, so it's a start, at least a good start, and it is very easy. It is very, very, very wonderful. Very, very wonderful. Ooh. It's really an experience-oriented thing. Then I want to talk about something. I know the whole world will listen to this. I have announced the last 1 or 2 years that I would like to sit at a place and develop from all the materials which we have in Krishna consciousness, courses where devotees can go very deep. And also I want to develop courses for the people who are interested in spiritual life but who don't yet know Krishna consciousness. So I have two audiences in mind, devotees and the interested spiritual people who are really many, many, many. So I will need to sit down, and for devotees I want to develop something, you know, I want to teach really the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but not just as a textual knowledge, but as something devotees apply in their life. When you find the old books like Prema Vilas and other history books of our Gaudiya Sampradaya, you will find that all spiritual masters tell to their disciples, read Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to understand what is Bhakti. I have read this book many, many years, and every time I read, I understand, well, I mean, I must confess to you, I understand Bhakti so wonderful, but so often we don't explain it like Rupa Goswami, and then maybe devotees don't understand it, and I also am always so fascinated by this. So I want to do this and other things for devotees and for the new people. I want to have like exciting and fascinating workshops, like mantra workshop and the immortality seminar. And I'm working now on something, you will laugh at me, but it's called the lost art of being happy. You know, this is my working title. I think I have to make it a little anspruchsvoller, you know, a little, and other such things where we can reach out to people. And if it works, then this will be for the I think if I can do what I want to do, it will be something which outlasts my own life in this world, which I only have like 20 more years in this world, or 25, and but this goes on afterwards, and I want to offer this to my spiritual master and to Krishna. I want to try to do something significant in their service. So I'm for this reason I'm moving to Berlin, not directly in the city but outside of Berlin, because everyone gets crazy in Berlin. It's so intense, the atmosphere is like New York and other such big cities. And then go regularly into the town and give these seminars for devotees and for new people. And I'm very much hoping that the devotees in the Veda Academy can come and we can join forces. We have to see if the devotees you know, we want to see that they do this, and I don't want to speak now about expectations in them, because I want to leave them free, the free will to decide how they wish to do. But I for sure will dedicate my life to this and commit myself. and see that Krishna takes me with this project. Prabhupada and Krishna take me with this. So, for this reason, I also have a very, very intense request, a really heartfelt request. I feel very like this. You know, we will rent a little house where those who work with me on this can stay, and where there are guest facilities for guests to come who work in other parts of the world, and then we can meet and put this together. That's the plan, and you know, I'm not a person who works. I'm for money in the industry, making tires and so on. I'm a beggar, sannyasi, and I wanted to ask you if some of you who can afford it can you know, just support this project and support this new phase of spreading of my preaching Krishna consciousness for devotees. If you feel interested in this project, we will have a table with devotees. I think who's there? Saranandi is there, who is my long-term secretary, and Saranandi can inform you about the exact possibilities, how you can support me in this project. It's not easy for me to do this. But some part of me would just like to travel and dance on the streets until I fall onto my funeral pyre, or you know, go to different countries and so on. It means a discipline for me to just develop this life school. But I feel Prabhupada has come to me very often in my dreams. I had, for instance, a dream where Prabhupada was on a next to a bookshelf, you know. It were the books where I had all my research books in. And I was thinking in my dream, oh no, Prabhupada will now see that I have a yoga book there, because I want to teach people some physical well-being, because people are so ill, and some mental well-being, you know. I want to take some inspirations and then see how the Krishna, how we can formulate the Krishna conscious culture, which is sattvic and which has something for these dimensions. So I was fearing, oh, Prabhupada will see. We'll see this yoga book there, and what will he tell me? So Prabhupada just looked at the bookshelf and he took that one yoga book. He said, it's a good book here for you. I said, Prabhupada, I had put it there. I think I already was convinced that it's good, but I was not sure if you like it. And Prabhupada said, this is for your Vedic way. You need to preach. People are suffering so much, and people are looking now more for spiritual solutions to material problems, and we need to show them that we have answers for them. So you do this. And Prabhupada seemed to just give me in the dream, and also I've had another vision of Prabhupada, where he preached to me, and in Vrindavan, which was just so real, I feel shy to talk about this. I'm a very not a special devotee. I am what I am, but I feel dedicated to do this. So if you. The way we will teach this is not yet 100% sure, because it is all in the emerging stage. Everything comes together at this, well, we don't know when it comes together, but it's in the process of coming together. And I have in mind to develop this, to teach it, and then to also go to other places, because I can't completely stop traveling. It's not natural. When you have wings to fly, you have to use them sometimes. But the major time I'm there, and this means I will reduce my travels a lot. If you wish to have association, I request you to come to the Japa retreats, and also I will come to a few summer camps and give seminars there. I will come to the Serbian summer camp, which you have seen. It's really nice, in the midst of the forest. And I will come to the Swiss summer camp and also to parts of the Croatian summer camp. I can only come to parts because of dates, overlapping dates. So, there was some other news. There was so many news always. But I would like to leave it with this. Some devotees have asked me about new publications. In the Vedic Way, we will publish many things, both for devotees and for other people. Yes, there will be many publications. I also request you to work together with our publishing house, the Sharanagati house. I always meet devotees all over the world who say, we want to buy your books, but we can't get them anywhere. Don't you have a distribution network? And I say, well, in theory we have, but in practice we can still extend it a little bit. I will tell to the devotees that if they want to help in there, they can come with, they can talk with Tridasha Roy and Damayanti, who are, I think, the only ones who are really doing that service. And we have, of course, a few distributors in England and America, but a few only. Good. Krishna, Krishna. Dr. Ego is filming everyone. I can't say get news. I could now tell you so many news, but these news all appear in the Sharanagati webpage, which Ananda Chaitanya does so wonderfully. There is the schedule, and I don't need to talk about this now, which things which you can read in the Sharanagati webpage. I only want to, before I see if you have any questions which you would like to ask me, I want to show you something which I feel will round up my presentation to you. I forgot which year it was, but I really needed some answers to my questions which I had. And I went to a pilgrimage to Mount Kailash, which was very physically very difficult for me, because I'm not the strongest being in the universe, and that's really for Superman, this pilgrimage. But I took one book with me, which I read every day. It's a book which Prabhupada had, as a grihastha, he had given the Lakshmi to print it. It has a Sanskrit title, Shri Shri Prapana Jivanamrita, The Life Nectar of the Surrendered Souls. And this book is difficult to read, because it's full with only verses. It only has verses from this Shastras. Different devotees' prayers and what the devotees say. And it's all about surrendering to Krishna. And I remember I had been very, very sick on the Kailash journey, on the journey to Mountain Kailash, and I didn't know if I would ever be able to reach Kailash because I had this high altitude disease, which is really terrible. It really kills you. But then I remembered, even when I was so ill, I kept on reading this and tried to follow the footprints of these great devotees who surrendered to Krishna. And what I have told you in this disciple meeting, I really tried to practice. Uddhavas, Prahlads, King Kulashika, Yamunacharya has many entries there. And I tried to pray this, and I developed, I got a lot of strength by doing it. I really wanted to tell you this because that's my biggest news for you. Please adopt spiritual principles which you don't yet follow at this moment. The spiritual principles, I don't mean the four regulative principles or anything like this. I mean just things which you like to do for Krishna from your own, following the footsteps of the great souls, and you will see mysteries unfolding. A dead man can walk around Kailash by doing this, and you can become great souls because you are, many of you are very qualified spiritually. You just need to give a little bit more expression to what you already know and what you already want. You need to express it to Krishna a little bit. My other news is really... I will talk another time about this. Something. Another time means during this festival. I want to see now if you have any questions to what you have heard or to any other point which you want to know. This is our chance to ask a question which is on your heart. I think it's much better than just typing it into the email. It has more vibrancy to talk. Let me see what you... Do you have any questions? Yes. Jai Gopal, Siddheshwari, and Mathura Nanda. Mathura Nanda or Mathura Nad?
Nanda.
Nanda, good. I remember your name. These are the first three. If there are other, and Krishna Sharan. These are the first three, or four. Jai Gopal, what is your question?
Yesterday about
would you like to speak in the microphone then? Is it possible, or do we have even a movable microphone?
Yes,
please. Okay. Ask your question.
You spoke yesterday about idealism and realism, and I very much like think it's very important by my own experience to become also there's a phase where you become more realistic and authentic, but my experience is also by going through this phase, it somehow also tends to cover our enthusiasm or this longing for Krishna, because one is like more engaged with some material things, and you somehow slip into a position of being becoming indifferent or being between, mm-hmm. we say in German, between table and bench, like somehow you. Yeah. Like, see, as a, you get somehow also trapped then by, in the name of becoming realistic and authentic, you, I have experienced, you become trapped a bit and you lose the enthusiasm also to strive for the ideals.
Yeah. See, both of these things, idealism and realism, need to be there in a person's life. If you say, I have been an idealist, now I'm a realist, then the problem could happen that you engage more with the material energy and you become covered by it. Mm. So you still, while being, by looking at the present status of your conditioned life and then situating yourself accordingly, you have to have a spiritual ideal in your mind, and you should not you should cultivate awareness of this ideal. Let me give you an example of a brahmachari who understands, I'm not real in this ashram. I really require a partnership, a sacred marriage, and he changes the ashram. Now, if that would mean for him to lose his spiritual ideal, then there could be a danger that he, at the end, is only engaged in running behind his children, from taking care of the children, earning for the children, and so on. But if he keeps his spiritual ideal in mind, he will be able to continue. He will have some type of service. He will have good association with devotees. He will actually educate his family in Krishna consciousness and take the family along. This is an example, and I have our devotees in Berlin in mind. We have some very nice Grihastha couples who have children and want to have more children, most probably, I don't know, but I can imagine. I'm speculating now, I don't know. And who do service, who want to help in the Vedic way, who are very, very enthusiastic, who are kind, who are meeting each other, who, when I come, or when others come, they organize meetings, they do this community of care, and so on. It's a combination, we have lost many devotees who have gone from idealism to only so-called realism. I mean, if you are really real, you understand I'm a fallen soul and I need help from Krishna, the devotees. But in the context of yesterday's lecture, so you need to have the two things, balance. It's very, very, very important. I believe for devotees like you, we could exchange this title, idealism versus realism, or realism versus... I think we shouldn't have such a conflict. I think it's very easy. We should learn this. We should look, what is our adhikar? Adhikar means a lot of things. What is our position in life? Where are we now? And then what do we, and how can we go to our spiritual goal, Jayagopal? And then we should accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable. It's simple, in other words. Today a nice devotee asked me this question, and I said, just identify your goal in life. I also look on your quality and qualifications, and then accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable. I think the mathematics of real life are easy when you come away from the mental platform. That's a strong sentence. I think the mathematics of real life are easy when you come
down from the mental platform. Hare Krishna. You need to do a few thinking steps and just come to real results in it, and then it works. But you are really right. Let's not be an illusion about it. When we deal with the material energy, it has its own dynamics. When we lose our connection to our spiritual goal, ooh. Jai Krishna, do I see you? Is it you whom I see in the back? Welcome. I'm very happy that you made it. Jai Krishna was not sure if he could come because he's in Belgium, very much involved with the Bhaktivedanta College, but apparently you came. It's not a ghost who sits there. Hare Krishna. Who was next? Sideshwari, yes.
When you explained in your lecture about the concept of Anusharan and Anukaran, it reminded me of in Brihat Bhagavatamrita of Gop Kumar, the way Srila Sanatana Goswami several times mentioned in his progress, he remained naive and he was very faithful to the instruction of his spiritual master. And what I got and what I remember is that the way he could remain naive pushed him up to his goal. So many times in my life, in my spiritual life, I feel I cannot discriminate what is really the essence of remaining naive to your instruction and what is really the changes, because anyway, Krishna consciousness and the whole spiritual life for me as a person who is born out of this culture is something which I'm adopting it.
I think the word naive should be translated into a quality which we could call simplicity. Krishna consciousness is easy for those who are simple. What does this simple thing mean? The Sanskrit word for simple is Saralata. Sara means the essence, and a simple person who's not complicated, that's the idea. He looks for the essence, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has always said that this quality of saralata, or being simple, is the most important quality of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. This quality of looking for the essence and then following the essence is really the quality of a Vaishnava. If a Vaishnava cannot be connected with the essence of life, then it is difficult. Maybe someone can help with the light, who knows the light system. Now how can we connect with the essence? This was your question. That's a long question answer. I can only tell you in a short way. Something which I always do. You might have heard this already, but I do two things in my life. First of all, I build something, and then I deconstruct something. Maybe I should say I first deconstruct something and then I build something. And I do this every day. I have a building company inside. I deconstruct the diversions. You know, there are a few things in my life which are not the essence of my life. So every day I deconstruct this in my mind to find what is the essence. And then, I'm not doing it every day, but I want to do it every day. I construct every day, I want to do this every day, the temple of the heart. I really feel we all need to have a place inside of us where we can contact Krishna and where we can experience his sweetness and his presence in our life. So I deconstruct something first, erst abbauen, dann aufbauen. First, let the old building mentally crash down, and then build the new thing. And I do this as an exercise, a spiritual exercise. This is, I feel, how you can find the essence of your life. Just be a little reflective, Siddheshwari. Just go through your life. I would recommend to you, start this every Ekadasi. Go through your life and see what is not essential, where you do things which have to be done, which are not the essence, or which you like to do, but which are not the essence. And then find your essence, and then build up on your essence, something practical. Like, for instance, if my essence is to develop a relationship with Krishna, then I should do something every day to build up on this. What I do, for instance, I read personally about Krishna the person. You know, if you want to have a relationship with someone, I don't know, I'm not an expert in man-woman relationship, but usually when a man wants to have a relationship with a woman or woman with a man, they try to gather information about this other person. So I'm trying to gather information about Krishna, which I use in the temple of my heart. Deconstructing, thinking what is not the essence, and constructing what is the essence. Mm-hmm. See, there is something I often feel the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement don't know about this, because maybe they don't read so regularly, or maybe they have not thought about this. But spiritual life is really at this moment an exercise for us. You know, when you do an exercise, you do it no matter what you how you feel about it. And then a certain result comes. Like I'm doing now every day since 2 years the Surya Namaskar according to the Ashtanga Yoga practice. And I really would like to read during this time. I really don't like to do it at 20 minutes. Heavy work. But since I'm doing it, I find there is a general well-being which was not there before. So Krishna consciousness needs to be done like this, like a discipline. And you need to know a little bit what you need to do and what you don't need to do. I hope this answers your question. 10th of the heart, Siddheshwari. Start building. Just add new things to it. And when you, before you go to bed, you go there, you say good night to Krishna. Work on a relationship, you know. Krishna is already there, he waits for you. And then you will have a very good feeling after some time what is essential and what is not. We are bewildered what is essential and what is not, because we don't have a real, our relationship with Krishna is in the beginning stages. But when you are in a relationship, you know this works, this doesn't work. And you like to do it because there's some affection and some gratitude and some love. Hare Krishna. Who else is there? Was there?
Maturananda. Yes,
Maturananda. Maybe you have to switch on the... Yes. Hare Krishna, Maturananda.
Can I ask one and a half question?
Okay.
misuse this opportunity. The first half question is, sometimes we see devotees, this is all in connection to following acharyas. We see sometimes that they are imitating maybe how their spiritual master behaves, how he sings, and they feel maybe connected more to him like this. Is this, is there any substance to this, or is it just imitation and it cannot connect like this a person? And the question is also, we heard this example of a child which is eating too much sweets and is taken to this acharya, and he tells him, come back in 7 days, and then just says, stop eating, and the child stops eating. Is this also, when we repeat the words of acharya, do they lose power if we actually do not practice? Like this acharya stopped eating himself sugar, and then he was able to convince him. So is it if we repeat what Prabhupada said, but we still do not practice in our own life, is the power diminished of these statements of acharyas?
No, you have... It's like this. If you repeat something and you don't follow it, it has an intellectual strength, but not the strength. It moves the thought of the other person, but not the heart. I got to know a very nice Brahmana from South India. He's a devotee within our movement. His name is Shitalanga Goranga. Shitalanga Goranga is a Brahmin who does different yagyas, and he does for different householders, and he reads astrological charts and so on and so forth. And he once told me, I have to at home chant my mantras. If I don't chant my mantras and I do this yagya, Krishna doesn't appear. I have to be a good follower, a good Brahmin, and that's a hard work. And only then my yagyas will bring Krishna and will bring results. And only then I deserve to take donations. See, there is a secret. Raj Kishore. I hope it doesn't get too long for you, Raj Kishore, and you can still tolerate it. It's 1 year, one time in a year. So there is a theory or some knowledge. It's called the Spota theory. Spota means that the word carries inside of it a certain power. It's almost like a seed who carries inside of it a tree. So when a person speaks the Vedic scriptures, who is not a devotee, the words which he uses, although he repeats the Vedic scriptures, don't really have the same power Because these words are empty. They don't have that Shakti inside. So when you want to preach or you want to move others, you have to follow so that your words have that Shakti to move the heart of another person. If you just imitate externally but you don't follow the essence of that practice, doesn't work. I want to give you an example which you can all understand. I will now give a terrible example which will make you Maturananda, I love you. I have said I love you, but did you register in your heart that I love you? No, it sounded so aggressive. But if I would say, Maturananda, I just love you, you know, that would be different. The same words, but a different spirit is there. So the Vedic scriptures can be recited by a non-devotee, but they just don't have that devotional or spiritual power. Only when a devotee recites and who lives, you know, what he talks, do they have this power. But of course, Prabhupada was very liberal with us. He said to everyone, just repeat what I have said and it will do something. It really will do something. It will move the mind of people and they will become maybe interested. I have seen things, you know, that some devotees who were previously following the process and stopped following the process, but still they moved some people. Hare Krishna. Good. So, our devotee from Hamburg, where is your microphone?
Krishna Maharaj. So when we try to examine our qualifications and to so that we can decide what we can accept and what we can't, in that process, how can we avoid being tricked by our mind?
You have to ask your spiritual master, that's why he is there. You have to ask, in other words, someone who's out of your present thought of frame. You can also ask, with many things you can ask devotees. You have to ask someone who's out of thought framework. Mm-hmm. That's why we have devotional communities and so on. I think it's now 9:10, and are there other questions? Yes. Well, we can have questions. I saw Mandaleshwari and Manditangi and Siamnam. These are the last questions.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna Maharaj, related to this Prabhu's question, your answer is absolutely true. But what about this meaning that to know, read, and to master, teach? To know, read, to be master, teach. So the things maybe when the devotee present from the acharya or our
practice makes perfect.
Yes. So maybe it's just not so good for the audience, but it happens something in the person's heart.
Yes, of course. When you don't know, when you are not yet perfect in what you do, but you still do as good as you can. You practice. Then it's good for you, and it's also good for the person. So when you want to follow this path of practice, then you should not only speak, but you should act accordingly. Then it has power, as good as you can. There is a very nice
thing I want to show you. You can take the other.
This is all the same word. Practice. Prabhupada used to say to us, in the beginning, your Krishna consciousness is like an unripe mango. Not ripe. But as you practice more, it becomes more and more ripe. So in the beginning, it's a little unclear, but it becomes clearer if you do that. Why? Because there is an inherent power in the activities of bhakti, a power which moves despite your qualification and which... which moves despite your qualification, even if you are not very qualified, like with the example of the rat offering the arati. So, but in the process of writing more clearly your practice, there are a few things which help. And that's a long subject. I've talked about, we have to talk about many things then. Yesterday we talked about one thing to avoid. This is again the deconstruction practice. Avoid offenses and to do, open your heart to Krishna. There was another devotee, Manditangi.
Before disciple meeting, we had this Gaura Smaranam program, and one of our god brothers mentioned something that really made me think. He said that you said that one thing that makes you suffer a lot is that you cannot, to most disciples, say what you really want to say, that you have to be like a smiling spiritual master. What qualifications or what kind of disciples should we become that you can really say to us what you would like to tell us?
I should qualify this. This is a general situation. You will never talk to someone something he or she can't understand at the moment, like a child. You know, you can't educate it. You have to know in the world of communication what can the person understand and where does he switch off. And now as someone who wants to serve Prabhupada in training devotees, I have to see very carefully what I can tell devotees and what not. And many times you can see when there are a it's really a subtle art. Like I met an old disciple who said, in Dresden it was, I have become rebellious. I just don't taste Krishna consciousness, and therefore I have become rebellious. So it was my only, you know, chance to reach this devotee, who's a nice devotee, and I had to really think, oh my God, how can I make this person understand that the first thing I wanted to say is you have no right to understand Krishna consciousness because you don't practice it. That was what I wanted to say, because I know you can only experience anything in life which you do, you know, when you have a big distance. Like if I complain, I dislike cooking. This cooking doesn't make any sense to me. Then Radha Kripa can say, yeah, because you never are in the kitchen and you don't cut the vegetables, and when you come, or Gaurahari is always, I always tell him, Gaurahari, it won't work. With this telephone, I should now make a telephone call. It doesn't work with me. Telephones and me don't go together, handies or mobile phones. Then he says, you never sit down and you never hear how I tell you, press this button, any idiot uses a mobile phone, but you are not learning this properly. Or I'm saying, you know, always my, you know, I want to hear something nice with this modern thing, but then I can't put it out, you know, I'm pressing is almost like an enemy whom I can't kill, you know. The obvious jumps up and then comes back into action. And he says, it's just so simple. You just have to take this thing out and then this thing out, and then it's you have peace from your thing. And so I wanted to say this to the devotee, but I felt if I say this person will never look into my face again and spread bad rumors about me. Better not. So then I wanted to. Then I said, "Yoo-hoo, I have it." I said, "Why don't you do one thing which you are enthusiastic to do in Krishna consciousness, and see what happens?" And the person said, "Wow, that's really good," and decided to do something. And I hear the person feels very happy about Krishna consciousness, because for the first time someone said to the person, do something which is on your present level, which is possible. So it's not exactly true that I suffer because I can't tell my disciples. Some of them are so I can't tell it. You know, you can't tell anyone what they can't understand at the present moment. You have to learn this, to tell according to the present way of understanding. This is something which preachers have to learn. What makes me suffer is when devotees, you know, Manditangi, they're this close. And this little thing just needs to be done by them, but then they give up in the last moment. It's like stopping your journey through the desert before you reach the oasis. You only have 20 more meters, and you just go the other way. That is really misery, you know. You see, the person has gone so far. He has sacrificed and surrendered so much, and now some misery comes. And somehow he can't deal with that misery and just goes back to the material world. It was maybe Krishna's last test, you know. But in general, you asked what. I have very nice disciples. I've the only rascal, that's me, because I'm always so a little impatient. You will see tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, my father, and then you will know from where this impatience comes.
You will see. No, he's a nice person, but you please study. Please don't study him. He's already insecure enough, you know. then I will talk to all these devotees. Oh, I don't know anything, you know. I know material things, but not spiritual things. But no, you can do it.
If you want to do something, please forgive when I'm so little intense. Hear me and hear why I'm so intense, but please don't judge me that I don't like you. You know, it's not that. It's just I care for your spiritual life, and then I'm a little bit, you know, like you know, a father may tell his boy who is just running in the wrong direction, at least according to the perspective of the father, and the father will say to the boy, "Fool, please stop, you are running on a road, there will be people who drive over you," you know. So when the child says, "My father called me a fool, he doesn't like me," you know, that's not fair, that's not nice. The father likes the child very much, but he has some feeling that he runs the wrong direction, therefore he may be a little strong. I feel this also always in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees have said that Srila Prabhupada have I don't want to repeat anything, have also marked Prabhupada's strong nature, but he's strong because he cares for us. So the last question comes. Siamna, please ask your question.
In the last session of Govardhan retreat, you mentioned that if someone says or promises to do something and then doesn't do it, one loses adhikar. And my question is if you could please clarify this. And my question is not about what we are promising in the time of initiation.
In general, about, yes. Also in context with the lecture, yeah. Yeah, there's something, you know, when you declare to the world or to a friend or to Krishna that I'm going to do this, you're putting something into the ether. You're putting something into the ear of the other person. Now, if you don't do it one time, it's all right. If you don't do it twice, it's all right. But there is a time when you just lose inner strength when you make promises which you don't keep. The promises don't mean anything for you. The promises don't empower you any longer. The promises or the intentions are something. Yes, I said that yesterday. It doesn't mean anything to you. When you break something which you want to do, if you it's really you who are harmed. It's really you who are suffering, you know. When you say you are going to do something, then when Krishna sees that you want to do it and you don't lose your integrity, you don't lose your intention, you don't lose your motivation, but you are motivated to do, Krishna will empower you. But if Krishna sees saying something and you don't mean it, it's just the words, you will lose your power to do it. It will not be given to you. We always move only by the power of Krishna. This is what Arjuna saw. When the Lord had disappeared, there was no... He had taken the powers from Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to bring the surviving queens from Hastinapur, no, from Dwaraka to Hastinapur, but on the way he was attacked by a bunch of cowherd people who were acting like thieves and who were attacking the queens. And for Arjuna, this was something he could not have imagined. For Arjuna, this was something which was a great problem. He came to the conclusion, Krishna had taken the power away from me. So whatever we do, Syamnam, it is only because Krishna gives us the power. And if Krishna sees, we are not really wanting to do it, we so often disappoint him, then he doesn't give. But still, when he sees that you come back and you really want to serve him, he again gives. There's never a time for Krishna when he says enough. There's only one verse in the Gita, you know, it's for demons, he just doesn't do. But this is not, devotees are not like that. Even the verses devotee, I don't think that he is ever in this category. Good, Hare Krishna. I want to end here. Thank you very, very much for, it must have been a long day. I want to end the day here. I want to encourage you tomorrow. Let us celebrate Lord Nityananda's appearance day in great transcendental happiness. Hare Krishna. Oh, I think we should, yes, we should listen to Dharma.
Hare Krishna. Just a few short announcements, practical. Please, all the devotees are